fruit bearing is meant to be, that when we are able to harvest that fruit, we're supposed to be joyful about it. They would literally be up and down those rows in the vineyards and clipping off those clusters, and they'd be singing songs of the harvest. They'd be giving joyful shouts to one another. Look, look what the Lord has done. Grapes are the single most profitable fruit on the planet. See, is it any wonder in our parallel that of all things, it is a grapevine Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15 when he speaks of our fruit bearing? Turn with me there. We're going to start there again, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I want to just throw this out to you because somebody in here, you thought, well, you know, I guess that the reason why he cut that one back is because I didn't manage it well. I didn't do well with it. That's not true. Do you know that sometimes when you feel like, I'm just going to use this terminology because it's something we can understand. Sometimes when you will feel like that God is kicking on you, it is not because you're doing a poor job. It is because you are a fruit bearer and he is coming for you, knowing that he can entrust this process to you. He has not picked on you. He has picked you out. I got to know that sometimes. I got to know I'm not being picked on, that I'm being picked out because he believes he can produce much fruit through me. That's what I want to know. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So the very first time I perked up and thought, oh, I think I'm going to teach on this, was when we were with a young woman driver who'd come to pick us up at the little resort out in the middle of a vineyard and about 20 minutes from Siena, and she drove us in. Well, while we were coming out, I had already seen, when we got in the car and started going down the hill and through it, I had already seen from a little bit of a distance that there were cars parked. We were out in the middle of the country, and there are cars parked along the road, and I can see people up in the vineyard, and I can see what looks like, for lack of a better term to a Texas girl, a combine of some kind, something that's being used to gather up those grapes. And I'm realizing that they're gleaning. I mean, they're harvesting. And those that are on our side of the hill have already been harvested, but I'm seeing they're in the middle of their process. Well, I'm sitting on that side of the car, and I'm in the back seat, and I'm just pressed against that window, and I said, I'm fascinated by it. I'm just fascinated by it. And her English was not great, but enough for her to basically say that I was fascinated because there was a lot to be fascinated about. This woman was proud of the part of the world she was from, and she said some words to me that completely riveted me. Grapes grow in rocky soil. It makes them work harder. And then she smiled and glanced back over the back seat and looked at me and she said, stressed vines make the best wines. And I thought, oh, Lord have mercy. Then I've got some good capability for some good wines coming out of this spirit because I'm under some stress. Anybody else? Anybody else? I thought, no, it doesn't get better than that. And I knew right in that moment that is a lesson if I have ever heard it. The saying still goes, struggling vines make better wines. I want you to hear part of an article from a blogger that is a wine connoisseur out of the UK by the name of Jamie Good. And he writes this. So give me a couple of paragraphs here, but you'll find it so interesting, I think. More modern methods of growing grapes in close-spaced rows on wire trellising take advantage of the fact that making the vines struggle generally results in better quality grapes. It's a bit like people, he writes. Place someone in a near-perfect environment, giving them every comfort and all that they could ever want to satisfy their physical needs, and it could have rather disastrous consequences for their personality and physique. If you take a grapevine and make its physical requirements for water and nutrients easily accessible, then, somewhat counterintuitively, it will give you poor grapes. Do you need me to say that to you? This was just like, maybe you're from this part of the country, so you get, how many of you knew this? I mean, how many of us didn't? I mean, this is huge. So I want to say that again. If you just take a grapevine and you make all of its physical requirements for water and nutrients easily accessible, then it will give you poor grapes. Forgive my anthropomorphism, he says, but this is because the grapevine has a choice. Given a favorable environment, and it will choose to take the vegetative route. That is, it will put its energies into making leaves and shoots. Effectively, it is saying, this is a fine spot. I'm going to make myself at home here. It won't be too bothered about making grapes, but make things difficult for the vine by restricting water supply, making nutrients scarce, pruning it hard, and crowding it with very close neighbors. And it will take the hump. It will sense that this is not the ideal place to be a grapevine, and instead of devoting itself to growing big and sprawling, it will focus its efforts on reproducing itself sexually, which for a vine means making grapes. Did you know, some of you know this is just fascinating to me. Did you know that most grapevines, the flowering on most grapevines, the flowers contain both the male and the female? And so they're able to pollinate right there within that branch and within that vine. So the new vine that's grown from this flower, the new branch that's grown from this flowering, from this pollination, that it carries on the genetic coding of both the mother and the father. This is in the flower, for crying out loud. Both the mother and the father. So it takes on their genetic coding, but it also adds its own little unique kick to it. So it's itself. It's an offspring bearing the genetics of its mother and father, but it's also its very own branch. What a gorgeous, gorgeous thought. And there's this little quote that he says toward the end of it. Struggling vines concentrate more of their energies on fruit production. I thought, if this is not iconic in the believing life, because we don't want this to be so, I don't want it to be so, but why is it a fact that if we have nothing but a cushion around us all the time, everything just goes easy for us? Think about us, we don't produce a lot of fruit. I said to somebody the other day, as gently as I knew how, I just want y'all to know, I have a lot of room for growth. Anybody else? Because sometimes something doesn't bring out the best in me. And I said to somebody, when is the last time you were around anybody in a desperate condition? Do you know anyone that's poor? Do you know a single mother with four kids who's trying to get those things to school? But y'all, it's hard. We're already under some stress. We might as well use it. I mean, you could leave today going like, I have the capacity to be a fine wine. Because, girl, I am under some stress. You can say to your family, you have just improved the quality of my wine. I can thank you for this. Thank you, family. Thank you, friends. Thank you, in-laws. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, family holidays. Thank all of you.
We hope you are enjoying Beth's current series about the vineyard. This month, for your donation, Living Proof Ministries is excited to offer a new resource to take us further into the concepts of the vineyard. It's called Made to Flourish, Cultivating an Abundant Life. This beautiful hardcover devotional book is a treasure for the eye, packed with inspiring pictures to stir the imagination. It incorporates reflections that are based on Beth Moore's recent best-selling book, Chasing Vines. Each page invites us to explore the fruitful life through the language of the garden and the words of the master gardener himself. After all, God delights in watching things grow. Grab a copy for you and a loved one today.
Jesus said to his followers, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." And to this day, all over the world, they still do. But Jesus promised more, that those who suffer for his namesake would not be forgotten. Today, Voice of the Martyrs operates in 68 countries around the world, reaching out through persecution response, through Bible distribution, and through frontline ministry. We will share their stories. We will mobilize the body of Christ to stand together with our brothers and sisters who face persecution wherever it happens. We will serve our persecuted family through practical and spiritual assistance. And we will carry on the mission of the one who called us, Jesus Christ, who said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, no matter the cost."
Tell you, we have all been through a lot in the last years, but I have never in my life, I say to you, I have never had more confidence in the pure gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to speak in power to us this weekend because his word is fresh and alive. That's the miracle of the scriptures.
Come join us in a city near you.
Here, I can tell you something. This is what I know. We're going to get crushed in this life. I'm not speaking that prophetically. I'm speaking that realistically. You cannot live long on planet Earth. I don't even know if you can make it to 18 years old until you've had your heart totally crushed. Can anybody identify with that? I mean, you'll get crushed on this Earth. It's just, this is a place, this is a broken Earth. It's a very, very flawed and broken and wounded and fractured planet. And we will see all things renewed. And we will see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. But for now, until the renewing, our globe is groaning. Romans chapter 8 says that all of creation groans. It's just groaning the full redemption of the sons and the daughters of God, of the renewal of all things, just groaning for that day. And we're seeing that. But here's what I want to tell you. Remember, we got three life stages of the grape. And it's one of the things that makes it so fascinating. Now, our connoisseurs in this room would have you know, I spoke to a woman this morning who said, I live in a vineyard. So I think she would want me to make sure that you know that what makes a good table grape does not always make a good wine grape. They're two different kinds of grapes, and they're grown a little bit differently. But I do want you to see, look at the life course of this fruit berry, because we have the ripe fruit right here, multicolored, ripe, just can eat it right now. We've got raisins a little bit later. So when it dries up a little bit, but we could still, I mean, look, this is still nutrition right here. And then we got the long term right here. This becomes the wine. This becomes the long lasting. Well, let me tell you this, because this was just profound to me as I started thinking about it. Table grapes and raisins are pretty affordable. Wouldn't you say so? I mean, they're getting more expensive, and it depends on what the level of freezing has been, how produce has been that year from wherever we're shipping it into our grocery stores. But really, wouldn't you say that table grapes and raisins affordable? Would you agree with that? But wine starts getting expensive. Starts getting expensive. Because you know what has had to happen to a grape for it to become wine? It's had to been crushed. Now, here's what I want to say to you. A whole lot of us have been crushed anyway. Again, then let's use it. Lord, then instead of bringing forth bitter vinegar, bring forth a flowing sweet wine from my life that somebody could taste and see that my God is good. Olives and grapes and grains, all the big harvests of God, all of those things, what they have in common, olive, grapes, and grains, is to become their ultimate food. All three of them have to be pressed and crushed. Now, listen, I want somebody to stay with me here. I want somebody to stay with me. Here's something that would help us so much. We will be helped a lot in our personal journey with God, if we would quit confusing what is a crushing with what is a pressing. I don't mean oppressing, I mean just pressing. Because there's legit crushing. But what I want to suggest to you is that we can have such a shrek over a pressing that we start reacting at a 10 to a pressing, and when it comes to a crushing, we got no coping skill whatsoever in the spirit because we already used it all. We've already, honestly, how in the world are we ever going to work through brokenness, true brokenness and unfaithfulness in a marriage if we can't even get over the fact that he won't come home for lunch from work? I'm sorry, am I getting on anybody's nerves? If we're going to go to church and we're going to get all hurt because we're not on the praise team anymore, we're going to quit going. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so when all of a sudden something traumatic happens in our church and there's some kind of family goes through a terrible, well, we can't even show up. Why? Because we're crushed by the press. There's real life crushing. Don't be crushed by what was just a press. We could be so oversensitive. Everything bothers us. Everything bothers us. Listen, if you are mad at everyone, you are the common denominator. I learned that one difference between table grapes and wine grapes is that wine grapes have thicker skin. Come on now, somebody. Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know, we need thicker skin, not thicker hearts, not calloused hearts. But here's what I want to say to you. Jot down, if you're taking notes, jot down Proverbs 19:11, because it says this, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. You know, if we're just offended constantly, and there's so much offensive stuff going on, and we're just wasting all this energy just getting offended at everybody, and we're going to talk back to everybody, and we're going to let them have a piece of our mind. We keep giving our piece of our minds, and we got no mind left. He says, "I don't know. I don't know where my mind has gone. Well, you've given everybody a piece of it. Is that fair to say? We need to say, I'm not going to give you a piece of my mind because I need to keep that. You know, I'm just going to say, if you're over 50, don't give anybody a piece of your mind. You need it. If you're a new mother, don't give anyone a piece of your mind because you need it. You need it. Because here's what I think. Remember when in 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul says, we are pressed but not crushed. There are times, legit times, there's crushing. But he's drawing the difference out between the two. Yeah, there's pressure here. Yeah, there's stress here, but we're not crushed here. I want to tell y'all something happened exactly a year ago. I was speaking, and a lot was weighing on it. And I don't know why it was an inordinate amount of, Beth, we're just believing God's going to do, it's going to do it through you. We've been praying for this for years. Is anybody getting this with me? Where I was going like, stop. And it was constant. It was constant. It was constant. It was constant. And it was meant so well and meant for such encouragement. But so many like pastors had come in and so many leaders had come in. All of them going like, Beth, we're believing he's going to use you to do it. And I'm just like, woo, because I'm thinking to myself, you know what? He's going to use himself. Anybody know? I need somebody to agree with me on that. I need Jesus to use himself because I'm not big enough for that. I just want to keep saying, I'm not good. I'm not that good. And I was just, so I was on my way home. This was the night before the conference started the next morning. And I was with, you know, I don't like to cry in front of people. I'll tear up, but by the time tears are falling, I don't like to do that. And I couldn't, you know, when the dam's bursting and there's just flat nothing you can do, and here it comes. And that was happening. And I was in the back seat and hoping nobody was really onto it. And, you know, Ron and the driver were in the car, and we were just, I almost started into the ugly cry. And I told the Lord my spirit. I was, you know, I got into it by the time I got home to my hotel room that night. I said it out loud, but I was like, it's too much. It's too much. Lord, it's too much. It's too much pressure to bear. Lord, sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break. Sometimes it's the weirdest thing when you do what I do. People want you to compete with yourself. Like they'll go, I'm really believing it's going to be better than last year. Why? I wish you'd get somebody better then. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So just trying here, do the best I can to just like study. And somebody go, bring us a fresh word. Well, I just got a same old one. I don't know what to do with all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I'm about to say something. This kind of stuff gets me into so much trouble. But how many of you feel like in your heart God answers you back with something, and that the only way you know to communicate it is then you put it in human language? I mean, that's just a normal way. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you're going to be mad at me. So what? Join the crowd. Write me a letter. No, better yet, tweet me in all caps, please. Please. And so I got back to my room. I'm just like, whoa, Lord. Are you afraid you're going to break me? And I had the strangest sense. And the reason why I believed it was God is because this could not have been further from my mind, and it sounds just like something he would say. I had the strangest feeling that God spoke over my heart and went, I built you for this. I built you for this. And I said out loud, you built me for stress? You know what I heard in my heart? Yes. And I was like, okay. It changed my whole year. It's been such a stressful year. Over and over, I've said back to him, you built me for this. You built me for this. I could take this because you built me for this. When you made me, when you put this body together, you made me this way. You made me this way. I got to tell you, one of the most prominent, iconic, let me say this, iconic features of the vineyard is the trellising. It's the trellising. You know what I'm talking about? Because we see it right here. When it grows up on a trellis, on some kind of a, it can grow up a tree. One of my articles said, a grapevine will grow up anything. You put it next to anything. If we stood still long enough behind it, it would grow up us. And so I just found that to be so interesting, how a vine can climb virtually anything. And now, you know, I love puns so much. But, you know, we've all heard of climate change. So I want to just put a little bit of different wording on that and make it climate change. You know what I'm talking about? You want to change? Climb the thing. Climb the thing. Vines are made for trellising. They're made to grow up something. There's this wonderful verse. You can write it down. Genesis 49, 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring, and his branches run over the wall. And he's talking about a fruitful vine. He's talking about you up against a wall. Grow over it. Grow, climb the thing and grow over it. Don't just go over it, grow over it. Productive vines learn to climb what they're up against. God had two ways in his word for his people of faith to deal with tall things like mountains. He said, by faith, move them or climb them. Climb them. If it won't move, climb the thing. Climb the thing. Get on top of it. We have to fight for love. Listen, in these days in which we live, you fight to keep your heart in it. We fight to stay in this battle with our hearts intact so that we can love people, that above all else, they will know that in the name of Christ, we came to them, we ministered to them, we served them in love. It is paramount. It is everything. It must be tasted in the fruit and the wine, or it's not conveying the vine.
Living Proof would like to send you a thank you gift for your donation. Visit bethmore.org/donate.